goes into the stomach and then out of the body. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Our second lesson is found in Romans 11, verses 1 to 2a, and then 29 to 32, found on pages 802 and 803 of your pew Bible if you want to read along. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who are at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon title today, as we see there beside sermon, let's say it together, Matters of the Heart. Now, we will be talking about things that defile. This is from Jesus in Matthew, and also talking about God's mercy for the remnant of Israel and also for the remnant of Gentiles as well. Now, I want to look, first of all, at the pictures that are there, and I'm praying that every church will finally give in and print in color, because I'm going to show the choir something. This is the heart that came out in the bulletin. That's the heart that I planned on. It's quite a difference, isn't it? Okay, just making sure. So, the heart that you see there on my copy from home is a red heart, and it's got a black background, but in the middle of it, you'll see some things that are going on that you won't see necessarily on yours. In the middle, there's a great crack in this heart. On the top left-hand corner, there's a sort of a bump there, and on bottom of the right-hand corner, a bump there. Then someone's stitched up a patch on that heart, and there's a Band-Aid across the bottom of it. Well, that's a pretty wounded heart, right? Have you ever had your heart in that condition? One, two, maybe three? Okay, we have. So we're going to see from these pictures, I put them there for a reason. There's a story there. If you get nothing else out of today, you can get something out of the pictures. In the middle, I have placed there a picture of a man who's obviously struggling and sorrowing and worried. But we never do that as Christians, right? No, didn't think so. Okay, I put a man there for a reason. Because quite often, men will think, women are just so emotional. And women will say, well, men just don't understand, right? But the thing is, God made us this way. He made women the way they are, men the way they are, so we can bring about a balance. Each of us can teach each other something. We know the divorce rate is over 50% now, and guess what? It's higher for Christian marriages. Something is wrong. So, this is why I challenge you with the Word of God each week, because we've got to not only work on marriages, but also work on all of our friendships and relationships. Now, if you look at the heart on the right-hand side that you can see the heart is open, right, at the top. And inside, what do we see? The cross. When we invite Jesus into our heart through his death and resurrection, Then we get the word that's on top there. We are blessed. And we don't have to have this wounded heart for the rest of our lives. Jesus came to restore and heal. Restore and heal. And at the very bottom, someone very cleverly, I think you can almost see it, it's the Bible open, and they've turned the pages into a heart back into the stem of the Bible. So it shows us the Bible is matters of the heart. See, we get up here, and we want to think everything to death, and if we can't figure it out, well, it can't be right. Don't try to think everything out. Faith, just believe in what the Word of God says. For example, I may have said this before, but for example, I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. I wasn't there. I also know that He rose from the dead. I wasn't there. But the Spirit of the living God has affirmed it in my heart, and He affirms it in everybody's heart that believes by faith, not reasoning. Faith. Let go. Take your hands off. Stop thinking about all the painful things people have put us through and all the disappointments and disillusionments. Life goes very fast. September's around the corner. So I don't know about you. I don't want to waste any more time feeling sorry for myself. I want to just receive everything that Jesus died for me to receive and died for all of you as well. So let's look at the matters of the heart in Matthew. Now, if you were here last week, we did where Jesus walks on the water. But prior to that in Matthew, it's all about the parables of the kingdom of God. You need to know those parables. Don't just pass over them. And don't just think this is, oh, well, this is just another book with some printing on the pages. Isn't that nice? And some people think, well, this book, it's old. It's outdated. Folks, we're the ones that have walked away from Jesus and everything that's in this book. We've got to come back and live in the Word of God if we want to see the church grow and be fruitful. You'll see more of that in Romans. Now, we also learned that He fed the 5,000, and during that time before He did feed them, He was healing. He went around and healed everyone. So He's doing miracle after miracle after miracle in front of many people. In fact, there were 5,000 plus at that meal. Then, again, last week, Jesus walks on the water, and Peter wants to, Lord, if it's really You, call me out of the boat. And Jesus says, come. And Peter steps out, starts walking on the water. Then what did he do? He looks at the circumstances and drops. And that's what we do. We keep focused, our heads keep focusing on the circumstances in life instead of the spiritual reality that we have all things that we need through Christ. It's a different way of life. I'm not going to kid you. And it's taken me a long time to get where I am. And it's going to take you a long time to get where you are. Because it doesn't happen when we're 21. We think we know it all, right? 21, hey. I look back, I don't even recognize myself then. Thank God. Thank God. Not that I was a terrible person, but I really didn't have the depth anywhere near what I have today. And it's that depth that sees us through all the circumstances of life in a way that will bring glory to God and not just frustration in our own hearts and beating up on our hearts. Then just after he does walk on the water, he heals the sick at Gennesaret, and then the tradition of the elders comes up. Here's the Pharisees and the scribes, the Israelites, okay? Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. This is just before Jesus talks about what defiles us. And I have to read this because this will tell you why he said what he did. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands before they eat? The Pharisees and scribes obviously didn't like Jesus, and they, some Jewish tradition today, still don't believe that the Messiah has come. He was standing right in front of them. and did miracle after miracle, and they still didn't believe. Then later on, just before the defiling, he says, "You hypocrites!" That was Jesus' words. "You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.' I did that for a while. Not all the time, but on occasion. Yes, I'd tell people I go to church, but then I'd go off and do my own thing. And I didn't realize I was offending my Lord. I wasn't asking him what he wanted me to do on a daily basis. I was just thinking, well, what does Suzanne want to do today? Yes, make a list, do it all. Hey. But what did it do to build the kingdom of God? It just possibly puffed me up. Well, big deal. That's meaningless dribble in the eyes of God. So, he goes on to say, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." Be very, very careful that we don't just rely on traditions in the church. And there's one comment that I've heard in every church I've been in, and I've been in a lot. "We've never done it that way before." But what if it's Jesus saying, "You need to change. You want to fill up the pews? You need to change. You need to follow me. I will make you fishers of men, women, and children." Then, after this happens, Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand." He begs them to listen and understand. "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." And you know that because sometimes things come out of our mouths and we think, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that." But it's too late once it's out there, right? And that's why it ends up defiling us. Then, because we go into the guilt thing and the shame and all that stuff. We don't need to do that. "Then the disciples approached and said to him," and I love this, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said, Jesus?" See, the Pharisees and scribes are angry with the disciples not washing their hands. And instead of them taking responsibility and standing up and maybe witnessing to the Pharisees and scribes, "Oh, Jesus, did you know that they're angry with you?" See how they passed it on? And how many of us do that? We know we made a mistake or somebody's criticizing us, and oh boy, we're going to do everything to deflect the responsibility on someone else. People blame God all the time for the way the world is. And that's very sad. We need to take responsibility for our own lives and what we've done to build the kingdom. He answered them, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding?" He's been with them for a long time, shown them everything that his heavenly Father gave him to show. And yet, they still don't get it. They're thinking too much. We need to look at it spiritually. "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer?" What an elementary lesson. Amazing. "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles." You see, if we go around with that wounded heart that we see in the bulletin there, always woundedness, always woundedness. Even our posture shows it. Okay? But if we go around knowing that we've been healed, we've been restored, we're going to heaven. Get it? We're going to heaven. We should be smiling 24/7. You know the life goes fast. Enjoy it and rejoice in what we have in Christ. "For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander, all of these things, gossip." That's one of the worst things we can do. We really tear down the church and the community at large when we gossip and make someone else look bad. We've got to remember, and I catch myself too, I've got to stop and think, now would Jesus say that? No, he forgave and forgave and had mercy and more mercy and more mercy so that people just saw him shine. It's like that song, we're not singing it, but shine, Jesus, shine. You know? These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Now, when we look into Romans, we see that Paul has been asked the question, and people are wondering, well, okay, it seems that Jesus is always rebuking the Israelites, the chosen nation. But here he says, I ask then, as has God rejected his people? By no means. And Paul says, I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. And he talks all about mercy. I'm glad that the Bible says his mercies are new when? Every morning, or every day, that's good. Every morning, because we blow it every day. Anybody else? Okay. We blow it every day. But don't feel bad about that, because we're not Christ, okay? But we're to be Christ-like. And it's only when we get this woundedness out of our hearts, allow the Holy Spirit to come in and heal that, and fill it up with the Word of God, that's when you're going to see a huge change in the church and us individually. Too many churches are closing, and I don't like it. It makes my heart sick. Because if we were truly doing what Jesus did, come back to the original church where they were devoted to prayer and shared everything. They didn't complain and criticize and fault find and judge and gossip and slander. Drop that stuff. I know that that takes discipline. Only the Holy Spirit can teach us how to do that and stop us. There are many times in any given day I could open my mouth and say something that, the Lord would not be pleased with. He'll forgive me, but why not stop before we do it? Because we're hurting other people. Not only are our hearts coming from a wounded place, perhaps, we've wounded a lot of people. And we think we're so wonderful that we've never hurt anybody, right? Nothing. Nobody. We do, and we do it sometimes not even realizing. So we've got to pull back a little bit, learn how to be like Jesus, because Jesus had every right to go and have a pity party almost every day, because nobody listened. And if they listened, they let it drop off and forget about it. He did miracles. People were happy in that moment. But what happened afterwards? So here's some information from the Life Application Bible for this chapter. I think it's worth reading and worth you hearing today. Because I'm not sure if we always get the connection. Many Jews who looked for the Messiah refused to believe in him when he came. God offered his salvation to the Gentiles, those who are not a nation, and a nation that has no understanding. Thus, many Gentiles who didn't even know about the Messiah found and believed in him. Some religious people are spiritually blind, while those who have never been in church are sometimes the most responsive to God's message. I find that quite often, to be honest. You know, and I have to watch myself too. I'm certainly not picking on anybody in particular. It's just we're so fleshly, we've got to get rid of that. Because appearances are deceiving and we can't see into people's hearts, beware of judging beforehand who will respond to the gospel and who will not. I always say to people that there aren't going to be any denominations in heaven. So those denominations, not mentioning any names, that might think Protestants aren't going to make it, they're in for a big surprise, because I'm going there. And I'm a woman minister too, to boot. But I know that I know that I know where I'm going. And I pray you have that confidence in your own hearts as well. In this chapter 11, Paul points out that not all Jews have rejected God's message of salvation. There is still a faithful remnant. And I believe even if other cultures or other cults, whatever, take over our country, there will still be a remnant. We will still be alive and well to tell the truth. Paul himself, after all, was a Jew, and so were Jesus' disciples and nearly all of the early Christian missionaries. Interesting, isn't it? There are Jews today that still don't believe the Messiah has come, but there are also Jews for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, pray for them, and pray for us, and pray for the world. God chose the Jews, his people whom he foreknew, to be the people through whom the rest of the world could find salvation. But this did not mean the entire Jewish nation would be saved. Only those, listen, who were faithful to God, the remnant, were considered true Jews. We are saved through faith in Christ, not because we are a part of a nation, religion, or family. It is by faith, and faith alone. The free gift of faith. So you see, you can't work 24/7 and do a great job wherever you are and be the greatest grandparent or great-grandparent or this or that or the other thing. It's not about that. It's about faith. If we have faith, God will give us the things that we are to do in any given day, and we'll do it in power instead of our weaknesses. We'll do it in power if it is God directed. Or spirit-directed. And lastly, I say this. In this passage, Paul shows how the Jews and the Gentiles benefit each other. Whenever God shows mercy to one group, the other shares the blessing. In God's original plan, the Jews would be the source of God's blessing to the Gentiles. When the Jews neglected this mission, God blessed the Gentiles anyway through the Jewish Messiah. He still maintained his love for the Jews because of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But someday the faithful Jews will share in God's mercy. God's plans will not be thwarted. He will have mercy on them all. You see, we got to get away from just thinking about ourselves. Think about what's really going on in the world. We see some of the things that are going on in the world that just disgust us, especially what has just happened in Spain and I think in Virginia as well. And there's just too much stuff going on out there. So that just escalates what I believe God wants for us to do. Be out there and showing God's love. We can't do it if we don't let him pour his love into our hearts. Because if we don't, then we're going to get up in the morning and think, I'm too tired today. I think I'll just lay in bed for another hour or two. Don't. Get up and rejoice. I felt tired this morning when I got up. And I thought, oh dear. But as soon as I started to pray and go over the sermon and read the word and study the word, the energy came. And that's the spirit, you see. When we're obedient to God, that spirit lifts us up. I don't care how old we are. We still have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Now, I have a scripture here. And I want you to repeat it with me three times after I tell you what it is. It's Psalm 51:10. So I want you to repeat that three times with me. Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. Now, that particular scripture is, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." One verse. I was beginning to write it out for you and I was going to pass it out and I thought, no, wait a minute. What's the psalm again? Good. Go home, look it up, write it out, put it on the fridge or beside the bed or wherever you hang out in the house. Because you need to be saying that. When a circumstance comes my way that I think, oh no, I say that aloud. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Because I can start thinking all kinds of wrong thoughts. And I don't want to do that. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Truly, God will bless you and bless me and bless the church, and it will grow. It will grow the way he intended it to grow. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're delighted to be going deeper and deeper and deeper into your word as we study it. Your word has power. It isn't what I say. It's what your word says and how the Spirit of the living God reveals its truth. The Spirit is also called the Spirit of truth in your word. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to meet him and greet him every morning, all day long. Even if we end up speaking out loud and somebody happens to hear us, good. They might think we're a funny old person, but I don't care. It's better, Lord, for you and for them that we begin to build and build and build and build the kingdom of God. Lord God, we pray for all those heinous crimes that are going on in the world today. They're too numerous to even say. But we know what happened in Spain and Virginia and so many other places. Now there's a little boy missing. Dear God, I can't even imagine what that family is going through and what that little boy is going through if he's still alive. Lord Jesus, protect him. Protect us, Father. Show us love. So it's people that don't understand love and the value of life that are doing these things. Their minds have been perverted by the evil one, and we sit back and we don't do anything about that. We've got to be praying for them before these things even happen. Praying for the world daily and everybody in it. Yes, it takes some time, but you took time, Lord Jesus, to go through the crucifixion and the resurrection for us. Please forgive us when we feel like we're too busy to be alone with you and worship you and praise you and thank you and study your word. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen very closely to the words of this next hymn, 300.